welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And happy Memorial Day to you, Brevard County. We want to thank those families who have had loved ones who have served and have served with their utmost capability. They have served their country and procured this freedom for us. And we want to say thank you and honor those who gave their lives fighting for our freedom. So happy Memorial Day. Sure, there are a number of people who would normally be going to work right now that are not, and you know, because of the holiday. And pray that you have a safe holiday and that you get to hang out with your family. If you see a veteran out there, thank them for their service. If you know someone who had a loved one who gave their lives for our country, would you go up to them and thank them for their service? They have paid a very high price as well, a price that you cannot put a price tag on. So thank you to all of those who have served so that we could remain free. Let's be vigilant in making sure that we stay free. Amen. So I want to say thank you today to Creative AC Solutions, 321-759-3284, 321-759-3284. Creative AC Solutions, Bill Andriak, he's been working on cooling systems for a very, very long period of time. And if yours is not keeping up, if it's starting to get a little wear and tear on it, if it needs somebody to come out and repair something because it's not working, listen, when we had a cold front come through in May, I was like, thank you. It made me feel better about that hot wave that came in April, where it was 90 some degrees, completely and totally ridiculous for April. But having some cooler weather in May certainly did help. But it is going to get hotter later on. Next week the hurricane season starts. You want to make sure that you are able to maintain the temperature in your home to do the temperature that you feel comfortable at. If you are not in that place right now, call Creative AC Solutions, 321-759-3284, and have them come out, take a look at your system, and see if they can't restore your cool. So thank you for tuning in. My name is Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merritt Assembly of God. You're listening to 91.5 FM WMIE, Today's Modern Worship, and we're going to spend the next 25 minutes or so talking about the Word of God. The Word of God is a great resource. In fact, I would have to say it is probably one of the most neglected resources that has been gifted to mankind for their betterment, and yet so much of society ignores it and does everything opposite of what the Word of God teaches. I will tell you that I found God to be an expert on all subjects. He's an expert on marriage. He's an expert on parenting. He's an expert on eternity. He's an expert on your identity, your purpose, your giftedness. He's an expert on agriculture. He's an expert on construction. He is an expert on finances. He's an expert on health. Whatever you may be facing, turn to Jesus, turn to the Word of God, and allow His expertise to begin to operate in your life, and you will see a great, great improvement on the results that you face. So, Friday, we ended in Proverbs 11:13, a talebearer reveals secrets, but he who is of a faithful spirit conceals a matter. We're going to continue to read on there. Verse number 14 of Proverbs 11 says, "Where there is no counsel, The people fall, but in the multitude of counselors there is safety. He who is surety for a stranger will suffer, but one who hates being surety is secure. A gracious woman retains honor, but ruthless men retain riches. The merciful man does good for his own soul, but he who is cruel troubles his own flesh. The wicked man does deceptive work, but he who sows righteousness will have a sure reward. As righteousness leads to life, so he who pursues evil pursues it to his own death. Those who are of a perverse heart are an abomination to the Lord, but the blameless in their ways are his delight. Though they join forces, the wicked will not go unpunished, but the posterity of the righteous will be delivered. As a ring of gold in a swine's snout, so is a lovely woman who lacks discretion. The desire of the righteous is only good, but the expectation of the wicked is wrath. So let's go back and visit what we talked about on Friday just a little bit more. Verse number 13, a talebearer reveals secrets, but he who is of a faithful spirit conceals a matter. And I want you to understand that what it is talking about there is that when someone confides in you something, or they are, you're dealing with them in an accountability relationship, that you do not go and weaponize that information against them. You do not go and trash their reputation and things like that. Let me also tell you, this is not talking about a cover-up. That's not what it's talking about. This is not about preventing someone from facing justice for their actions. What is being discussed here in verse number 13, a talebearer reveals secrets, but he who is of a faithful spirit conceals a matter. What this is about edifying an individual in their character shortcomings so that they don't do something that is going to be detrimental or harmful to them. So I want to make sure that you get that. We're not talking about, hey, you know, what we see so much. Well, this person is of my political party, so I've got to cover up for what they did. No, that's not it at all. This is about someone comes to you and says, would you pray with me? I'm really struggling in this area of my life. And you pray for them and you walk with them through that system. That's what's being dealt with. A lot of people abuse that principle and say, well, you know, I'm his friend, so I couldn't rat him out. That's not the case at all. I've known people who, when they were confronted with criminal behavior by someone that they loved very much, they took that person to the authorities themselves because it was a criminal matter. We're not talking about crimes being covered up. We are talking about character issues that are being repented of, and bad habits are being replaced by good habits. So let's move on to verse number 14. Where there is no counsel, the people fall, but in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. When I was going through this particular proverb and knowing that Proverbs was written by Solomon, and Solomon's son was Rehoboam, who his very first decision was a catastrophic decision, which led to the dividing of the 12 tribes into two different nations, the nation of Israel being the 10 northern tribes, and the nation of Judah, which ended up being Judah and the tribe of Benjamin. And it was because of bad counsel. I've had people in my past that gave me counsel, but it was bad counsel. It wasn't good counsel. I try and give good counsel. I try and learn, because I want to provide the pastoral care that I can to help people to walk in their relationship with Jesus successfully. That's where I'm at. I really want to accomplish that. But If you are an expert in all things, then you know you're going to make plenty of mistakes because you're not willing to listen to anyone. I received a minister's newsletter. It's not really a newsletter. It's just kind of a little nugget. It takes about 30 or 45 seconds to read. I get it two or three times a week, and it was talking about this very intellectual individual. I don't know that much about him. I know the name, but don't really know that much about him. And he was in a social setting, and there was a person who was going to try and impress this person. And to put it in plain terms, this person spent the entire time talking and talking and talking and talking and trying to impress this guy with his vast amounts of knowledge. And finally, the intellectual person said to him, "Sir, I believe between you and I, we know everything that there is to know." And the guy kind of, you know, smiled a little bit. "You really think so?" And he said, "Yes." He said, "I perceive that you know everything there is to know, except that you are braggadocious, and I know that." And so what he was telling that guy is, you don't know how to receive input in your life. He was so narcissistic and full of himself. Listen, I've never met anybody who didn't need someone to speak into their life and help them through the situation. A wise leader not only is able to speak into other people's lives, that leader knows that it's a necessity that he has other people that speak into his life as well. So I am very thankful that I have people that I am accountable to, people in authority over me that I can run to for advice and find that they are going to give me precious counsel. After 27 years of ministry or of pastoral ministry, I am so thankful for the people who took the time to learn counsel, imparted their counsel, and saved me a world of heartache. You see, it took me about 27 minutes of being the pastor to figure out that even though I'd been to college for pastoring, been on staff, been, you know, served in a board capacity at times, I didn't know everything. In fact, I found there was more that I didn't know than I did know. And so I learned to appreciate those who had experience that I did not have and were willing to share that with me in my life so that I did not make catastrophic mistakes. It's one, you know, we wanted to give our kids counsel, but we weren't a helicopter parent in that we hovered over them and did everything that we could to keep them from scratching their knee. We wanted them to be successful, and we knew that they were going to make some mistakes along the way because I made mistakes along the way. My wife made mistakes along the way. Everybody makes mistakes along the way. We just didn't want those mistakes to be fatal. And so we tried to keep it in a safe place where the mistakes that they made weren't going to result in a catastrophic fall that would damage them forever and ever. And so surround yourself with some wise counselors. What I would do is if there was an area of shortcoming in my life, say you didn't have any experience in a general field, I would find somebody who was really good in that field and see if they wouldn't mentor me through that process. I've done that a number of times through life. And so, I've really not had that many golf lessons. More, I've had a few golf nuggets. And so what I told a friend of mine some time back was, because it's been 6 months since I played any golf. Not been that long since I picked up a golf club. I just had to have somebody show me which end to pick it up to swing. No, that's a joke. But I said, you know, before I think I spend a lot of money going out and trying to figure out how to golf again, I said, I think I might invest in some golf lessons so that when I do go back out there, I have a better understanding of what I'm doing. I've never been a horrible golfer, but, you know, I'd like to have somebody who coaches me through the process so that I know what I'm doing. So if you are struggling in your marriage, listen, the best athletes in the world have people that counsel them, coach them through various aspects of their game. The president is surrounded by people with counsel. You've got to figure out what their agenda is when they start speaking into your life. But if you need to develop in an area, find somebody who has at least one step ahead of you in the journey and say, would you coach me so that I can get from where I am to the point where God wants me to be? Verse number 16, we begin to see a lot of contrast here in this passage. It says, a gracious woman retains honor, but ruthless men retain riches. And so you might look at it and say, well, this is a male-female contrast. And, you know, as far as the word itself goes, you would be correct. But I've known some gracious men. And I've known some ruthless women. So that particular adjective that is used to describe these individuals, it can operate with both genders. And so the real contrast is not whether it's a gracious woman or a ruthless man, but it is, what are you going to retain? Because if you are gracious, you are going to retain honor. If you're ruthless, you will retain finances, you will retain riches. For you, it will be more about the money than it will be about the people. Honor is about people. Honor is about influence. You know, your reputation should be more valuable to you than money. It always troubles me when I see people who were raised in the church, who were raised on the principles of God's word, and then they're willing to set those principles aside and use the giftings that God has given them to enrich themselves, and they don't see that all of that money has come at the expense of their honor. Honor and fame are two entirely different things. Honor is very valuable. You want to do the honorable thing. You want to do something that's going to bring honor to the Lord Jesus Christ. You want to live your life so that you honor your father and mother. I don't know if I had ever come through a Mother's Day season where I heard that there were so many people who had strained relationships with their mother. And this year for me, it was the first year that I wasn't able to call my mother, or I wasn't able to FaceTime her or any of that, because she's with Jesus now. But what I realized out of that is this precious gift that I lost is a gift that some people have never experienced. So there is a difference between honor and respect. Honor is, you know, honor the king. You honor the office. And so whoever the president is, I honor them for the office. Believe me, there are some that have been in office that I had a hard time respecting. There are some that I know that what goes on behind the scenes is different than what goes on in front of the scenes. So there are some people that I can honor them for the position that they have, even though I do not respect aspects of their behavior. For a Christian, we want it not to be one or the other. We want to live our life in such a way that others honor us because we are father or mother or pastor or government official, and they respect us because we do that with the character that God has placed inside of our heart. We manifest, we minister, serve in the fruit of the Spirit. So what will you choose to retain? Now, it takes grace. That's the root word of gracious. A gracious woman, a person of grace, you know, God's riches at Christ's expense. It is God giving us something that we do not deserve, and as a result, we retain the honor of being a child of the living God. Or we can be ruthless, and that means no holds barred, at any point in time, at any cost, you know, we're going to seek to enrich ourselves. So I remember a person telling me about people who were ruthless in their pursuit of what belongs to other people. And, you know, that they had a mindset, what is yours today will soon be mine tomorrow. And you know, I would much rather have a relationship with God where he gives me the creative abilities to produce wealth. So be a person of grace, not ruthless. It says, the merciful man does good for his own soul, but he who is cruel troubles his own flesh. So here we have the contrast of a person who is merciful and the person who is cruel. And being a person of mercy actually benefits our own life. Showing mercy to other people has a benefit for us. I remember hearing Joyce Meyer say that when she first became a Christian, that she was so controlling. She was trying to control her husband, and she was trying to control her kids, and she was trying to control this, and she was trying to control that. And the job of controlling all of that was bigger than she was, and she was miserable because people wouldn't do what she wanted them to do. I don't know if you've ever been there or not. And pretty soon God began to reveal to her that her job was not to control all of that aspect, and that was making her miserable. Okay, I know some people that their next act of mercy will be their first act of mercy. They just do not live a merciful life. They you know, you strike out with the first thing that's not even not a home run, you're out of there. And so we don't want to be people who are merciless. We'd rather be people who are merciful, because it's going to benefit you. It makes you a better person. Mercy has always been my primary gifting. And so I don't like to see people hurting. I don't like to see people suffering. But I did hear at one point in time that at times when you've shown mercy and you've shown mercy and you've shown mercy over and over and over again, that sometimes the most merciful thing to do is move mercy out of the way so that exhortation can come in and teach that person a better way to live. Now, I can tell you that doesn't always please another person's flesh. I can tell you, though, that when I show mercy, very rarely does it have a detrimental effect. I don't have to repent for showing mercy. But a person who is cruel, a person who is oppressive, that drives people just for the sake of driving them. Don't you ever forget who I am, and bam, people who are always just in another person's face over the littlest little teeny tiny little thing, that person is going to bring trouble on their own flesh. Okay, so mercy has benefit for our mind, our will, our emotions, our very life. But a person who is cruel to others is going to find that his own body, her own body, will in the end be very cruel to them. You know, in my mind, I'm still 18 to 25, something like that. I still think that I can go out there and do everything that I could do. It takes longer to recover and, you know, takes a little longer to do it. I remember, you know, playing golf, and I hit the longest drive in our group, and I was only 100 yards shorter than the group behind, or the group that was coming up behind us, because when we got on the green, we saw their tee shot, and it's like, wow. And I remember at that point in time, I said, I've got to change the way that I think. I've got to readjust that. So if life is not working out for you and being cruel to other people hasn't worked out, I want to encourage you, try mercy. Try mercy. And allow God to bring that about. So what I was going to tell you is, because I don't really know how I compare to other people, when I was in retail, sometimes I would find out that the person was the same age as I was, and I'd look at them and I'd say, I hope I look that good. Or I'd look at them and I'd say, I hope I look better than they look at my age. Whatever, if you don't like the way that life is treating you, try mercy. You will find it has benefits to your body, your soul, and your spirit. We'll see you next
time.
Thank
you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@Hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
This is the air I breathe. This is the air I breathe. Your holy presence living in me. This is my daily bread. This is my day.